Welcome back to the Woodbury Report. I'm Lon Woodbury, an independent educational consultant located in North Idaho, and for the record is June 23rd, 2016. Today, my guest is Molly Carmel. Hi, Molly. Good to have you here.
Hey, Lon. Great to be here.
And it's early afternoon for me, late afternoon for you, but Molly is the founder of Beacon Program and is a weight loss and food addiction specialist, so she'll talk about that, and particularly in the context starting with the myth of the comfort food. So what's the myth of the comfort food, Molly?
Well, Lon, I think that the myth of the comfort food is it really comforting? Like, when you think of things that are comforting in a long-term way, do we really think that these comfort foods provide us comfort? Or is it that they provide us comfort short-term, like drugs and alcohol, and then for many of us, cause us long-term guilt, shame, and demoralization? Mm-hmm. I think that is a real myth that we're living in our society today, especially with those people who struggle with issues with food and weight, right? Is putting too much premium on foods that are not helpful for people's long-term goals.
It gives them a short-term whatever. But yeah, but it. I know my reaction on sodas in particular, after a while, I begin to think, I just don't like this. It doesn't taste any good anymore.
I think that, yeah, well, you're in a hardcore minority of this world, Lon, because most people are just increasing their sugar intake. And you know, what's really interesting about all of it is that, you know, there is nobody who I know in any medical field that would ever say that processed sugar and processed carbohydrates are, you know, good for you. Like, there's nobody who mm-hmm. is like endorsing them as a healthy thing to do. And, you know, there are some people who believe moderation in all things. And, you know, I think the thing about comfort food and it being harmful is that we really have to consider, you know, the nature of the person and the nature of the substance. And I think that there are a lot of people who truly struggle with food addiction or with binge eating disorder or some combination of those, and even anorexia and bulimia, where comfort food is actually incredibly harmful for their long-term emotional, spiritual, and physical health, without question. And so while I love the idea of moderation in all things, I think for many people struggling with issues with food and weight, it's just not something that they can do in a way that is healthy, at least in the beginning of a process, if not ever.
Yeah, well, that sounds a little bit like the 12 steps. One drink and you're going to binge. And some people are like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, I think the thing with food is that you have to eat, and so there is a lapsing component that's quite inevitable. I think planning for that lapse makes it much more complicated. I don't know that we have absolute perfection with food by any means. I just don't know that we say, oh, I deserve it. I need a little macaroni and cheese. I need a little ice cream. Like, that, I think, is more consistent with a substance use spin on it. Like, mm-hmm. no one ever needs to eat ice cream. And I think if we looked at it, like, you know, what's comforting? Loving people, intimacy, you know, right? A warm bath, a massage. I mean, there are things that are comforting that don't have the same demoralization and long-term health impacts and long-term emotional impacts as overeating these so-called comfort foods that people are talking about. And the thing I need to say, like, most of all, is that what I've seen in the years that I've been doing this is that when people actually, you know, give up those comfort foods, very similar to drugs and alcohol, I mean, they are shining bright, as we say, a beacon. Like, they find solutions to their lives. They have better lives. They are more awake and available. They are willing to take risks in life. Like sometimes these comfort foods are what are blocking people from their very best selves. And that is a scary proposition, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I was thinking, and maybe to take a sort of paraphrase from something Voltaire said a long time ago, the term comfort food. They're not really comfortable, and it's debatable if they're even really food.
Oh, my goodness. Voltaire is like my spirit animal. That's so fabulous. I've never heard that before.
Well.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's right.
Yeah, well, I think if you want to use it, you're welcome to it. But that's a thought I had while you were talking. Yeah, it's not really there. It's not comfortable. I know I've gotten to where donuts don't taste very good anymore. I used to love them, but
Well,
they
and I
don't
think
taste.
that, listen, I mean, I think there's this like great, I think there's a great delusion about food in our country. And I think that everybody is really like colluding together to have this delusion that it's okay and it's not that bad. I mean, you know, we know this research, at least in New York City, they put up the calories in places. And what they found from that research is that it doesn't change people's opinions. I mean, this denial mechanism that we have that was originally made to protect us is really not useful in what we're doing right now. I think that it's very easy to say it's no big deal and it's fine. And what I want to say, Lon, I think for some people it actually is fine. I think some people can, you know, eat this kind of stuff with impunity. Like, I think there are some people with whom it is an actual addiction in all of the ways, in the dopamine in their brain ways, in the detoxification ways, in the impacting their work and relationship ways, in every single way that the diagnostic manual talks about addiction, you can do that with food. And so when people say, oh, but you have to eat, I mean, I agree with that completely. I think there are foods that you actually don't have to eat that are interfering with your ability to live your very best life.
So what sort of advice would you give? I want you to talk a little bit about some takeaways that the listener might have. What if somebody's having is a little overweight or having some trouble with food or get a binge a little bit on ice cream or donuts or what have you? What would you advise them to do, considering everybody's individual and they're going to be different? But what would you advise?
Well, I think first thing is that, you know, if you can't stop eating sugar and you have, and I would go look at the diagnostic manual or even on Beacon's website. We have a pretty solid test for if you're struggling for food addiction on our website. And if you are, I mean, maybe you can try to eliminate sugar and white flour from your diet. Let's say even just for 30 days, right? And if you're having some of the effects of withdrawal, like then you probably have this problem. This is great news because that means that we can start your life afresh. And there are so many foods that aren't addictive that are so delicious. It's not the end of your life. It's very much the beginning of your life. But when you're eating these foods that are so high in sugar and white flour and all this processed stuff, you actually don't have any taste buds left. You're usually very, very tired. Your insulin receptors are exhausted. So you're living in a fog in many ways. And so to eliminate these foods is great. And then to start to add in some really delicious foods, right? And there's a lot of data right now that's supporting like adding in natural fats like avocados and full fat yogurts, right? And things like almonds. And if you can't give up sugar completely, can you give up like the egregious sugar? Like, can you and start to eat and add in more fruits, right? And just start to like give your body a break and bring it back to its sort of natural baseline of what it is supposed to be eating. You know, as I've said for many years, you know, it's like the caveman were not picking ringdings off the trees, you know, like there is something that's happened in our country. And for many people, it's actually preventing them from like the life that they deserve. And, you know, as all addictions, you know, I heard very, very early on in my career that, you know, we guard our substance. And so we can start to make up some rationalizations around why we need the food, why we have to have it, and everything in between, right? And I think that like that's just, I think it's to start to see that, to start to see these rationalizations. And I think there's a lot of support groups out there. You know, I know that we do a lot of we do free videos every week. You know, there's like a lot of support out there that you can get for this.
Well,
A lot of people are talking about this, and not a lot of people are listening. And I understand why. You know what I
oh
mean?
yeah. Well, that's a couple of the objections. I've heard some people they want to try to eat more natural, but it's so much more expensive than the processed food in the grocery store. How would you overcome that, or is that a myth itself?
I mean, I think that there's I've watched people eat really naturally on a very, very tight budget. I mean, there is brown rice and there is beans, and I think that you and you know Descartes said, you know, let us not let the perfect be the enemy of the good, right? And so I think what happens to people is that they think they need to take these huge steps, right, and go paleo or go whole30. Like they, and I don't know that that's necessarily what you have to do. I mean, I think it's great, and I don't think possible for most of us. And so can you pick a few things to let go of at a time? Can you just start to add in more fresh food. Like, I don't know that we have to be like revamping our lives. I don't think it's a bad idea, but if you're not there, you're not there, right? Can we just start to take out egregious sugar and egregious carbohydrates? Can we start there? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I was like, because I think that everything counts, Lon. I'm a behaviorist, and I believe that small behaviors lead to big behaviors, and I believe that there will be a health benefit from anything. I really do. I really do.
And so I think part of what you're saying is small steps. Take a little step in the direction and then more. Don't do the whole thing. Like, I think that's one of the problems with diets that I've read about, keep hearing about, is that it's a massive change in your lifestyle, and people oftentimes aren't ready for that much of a change.
I think that's right. And I think some people are and some people aren't. And if you're balking so much, I mean, what we know about even training animals is like, if we're asking a dolphin to jump over a gate and the gate's too high, the dolphin's not going to want to do it, right? So it's like you want to find this middle path between, you know, what you know you need to do and then what you're willing to do. You need to, you know, that's what ends up happening, is that people get too overwhelmed with how big the proposition of changing their life is, that it completely shuts down their brain from making any changes. And so if you can start to make long-term consistent changes are so much more powerful than short-term diets. Short-term diets are very sexy. I mean, I talk about this all day. Sexier than sexy, Lon. I mean, it's just that they have an endpoint and they're not sustainable. And all we are at Beacon is about long-term sustainable changes and helping people to really integrate this into their lives. Because as you and I both know, that's the only way that long-term change happens, is when it's integrated into your life. And sometimes that's slower than, you know, the media is telling us it should be, and that's okay. I mean, yeah, well, you know, one size doesn't fit all.
It's a brain change, working at it.
And isn't it?
Taking this time. Well, we about ran out of time, but I want to give you a chance to talk about Beacon program. What is it you do in about a half a minute or a minute? And then how, if somebody had a question, how they could get a hold of you.
Well, Beacon Program helps people to create sustainable long-term changes with their issues with food and weight. And so that really runs the spectrum. It's like, if you are struggling with issues with food and weight, we can help. And what I want to say is, even though we're centrally located in New York City, we do remote work. And in the next few months, we're going to be launching remote groups. And so we are going to be international in the next 2 months. The other thing that we're launching, which I'm the most excited about these days, is a program for parents with struggling kids, which is the thing that I'm most passionate about these days. And so that will also be, there will also be remote access for that also. So I'm so excited about that. And I have to tell you, Lon, I love questions, and I love helping people, and I'm always loving to be able to answer people's questions or blog about it and things like that. And so if anybody has questions for me, I would love to hear from them. And my email address is Molly, M-O-L-L-Y, at beaconprogram.com. And, you know, Beacon has newsletters and video blogs and normal blogs and question and answers and all sorts of things. And we are really, as much as we, you know, we want to help everybody. Like, I want to help anybody who's struggling. I there's a solution to this, and you don't have to struggle anymore. And it really doesn't feel that way when you're in the middle of really hardcore issues with food and weight. It really feels like lonely and terrible, and there's help, and we're here.
Okay. And a phone number, add a phone number to that.
Oh, sure. So our phone number is 646-559-9019. And for anybody that does want help with us, we offer a free consultation, because I just like for everybody to be in agreement about treatment. And our website is beaconprogram.com. And we offer weekly Sunday. We send our newsletters on Sundays, because that's usually the day that people need the most support. And so you can sign up for our newsletter and our video logs. And, you know, we're really just, all we want to do is help. That's all we want to do. We want to help the greater good. And so I would hope to hear from anybody that wants some extra support.
Okay, well, fantastic. We'll try to get the word out as much as we can here. But we ran out of time. This is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report. Been talking with Molly Carmel. She's the founder of Beacon Program and is a weight loss and food addiction specialist, and been talking about the myth of the comfort food. Well, good to talk to you, Molly. Thank you very much.
So great to talk to you, Lon. Take care.